even the tiniest ant, the harm of the other tiny ant, then it will receive its full due of justice on the day of resurrection. So the animals will be raised to life for this retaliation, this qisas. And as for mankind and jinn, then they will be raised for that same purpose as well, for retaliation, for any injustice that's been done to be put right between them. And mankind and jinn for a second purpose, which is recompensing for their deeds. For as for the animals, when retaliation has been brought about, they will be then turned to dust. That will be the end of them, they'll be turned to dust. But as for mankind and jinn, then there will be the addition of recompensing for their deeds. Good reward, a reward of good for their good deeds, and that which is punishment for their evil deeds. And Sheikh Al-Fawzan made it clear that justice and retaliation being established even between the tiniest ants, this is because Allah the Most High will establish perfect justice on that day and will not allow any injustice at all, even to that extent there. A tiny ant harming another tiny ant, justice will be established even to that extent. So how about with regard to the people? And Sheikh Fawzan made it clear that with regard to the believers, they will gain justice. Those who have wronged a believer has wronged another believer. Justice will be extracted from him. And no believer will be able to enter paradise until he's been purified from any wrongdoing that he has done. Any Muslim, any believer that he has harmed, he will take justice from him. And then when the believers have been cleansed and purified, then they will enter into paradise. So whether it is sin that they committed, major sins, or whether it is injustice, they will not enter paradise until they've been totally cleansed and purified. If it's by sins, then either Allah will pardon them for those sins that they committed against him, or punish them in the fire for a time, and then remove them and enter them into paradise. But secondly also, until recompensing has been arranged between them, so that no one has any claim of injustice left upon them. They've been totally cleansed and purified from all of that, then they can enter into paradise. So Sheikh made clear, and that has occurred in the main text as well, the people of paradise will obtain retribution upon the people of paradise, others from the people of paradise who wronged them in this life. And also the people of paradise will gain justice from the people of the fire who wronged them. And likewise the people of the fire from each other, and likewise the people of the fire from any of the believers, people of paradise who harmed them. That will be all sorted out, and justice will be established. The second point was with regard to ikhlas al-amal, making one's deeds purely and sincerely for Allah alone. So Sheikh Al-Fawzan mentioned the extremely important point that no deed will be accepted by Allah the Most High unless it fulfills the two conditions, both of them together. Al-ikhlas, that it is done, the deed is done purely and sincerely for Allah alone, with no shirk in it. And secondly, al-mutaba'ah, the second condition, al-mutaba'ah, that deed, that act of worship, is done in conformity to the sunnah of Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, containing no bid'ah, no innovation. And the third point that we had was with regard to being pleased and satisfied with Allah's decrees. Sheikh Fawzan made it clear that this is a part of the iman in pre-decree, in al-qadr. And belief in pre-decree is one of the six pillars of iman. And Sheikh Fawzan mentioned the four levels, as it's called, the four levels or four essential points for a person to correctly believe in pre-decree. Al-qadr, pre-decree. Those four points being that person believes in and understands, firstly, the first level, al-ilm, with regard to Allah's knowledge, that Allah the Most High knew everything that was ever going to be, and that He has always known it, and that He knew how it would be, and that Allah the Most High knew everything that would not be, if it were to occur, how it would be. So the first point, with regard to knowledge, the pre-decree covers, knowledge, the perfect knowledge of Allah the Most High. It's covered everything always. Secondly, Al-Kitaba, that which Allah knew was going to happen, Allah the Most High wrote it down in the preserved tablet. He wrote it down that it was going to happen. Thirdly, Al-Mashi'ah, that whatever occurs, then it falls within Allah's Mashi'ah, His wish and will. If something happens, Allah the Most High wished it to happen. Nothing can escape that which Allah wishes to happen. And fourthly, Al-Khalq, that whatever happens, Allah is the one who created it. No one else besides Him. Allah alone is the one who created that thing. And the Shaykh made it clear that we need to be pleased and satisfied with Allah's decree. Whenever a calamity strikes, something harmful or illness or a calamity, some disaster strikes, then we need to be satisfied with that decree of Allah the Most High, that we realize the one who decreed it was Allah the Most High, and be satisfied with that, and not display the opposite, a lack of satisfaction, either in our heart, our limbs, or upon our tongue, so that we do not have in our heart feelings of being vexed and annoyed and angry and the like when something happens like that. When a calamity strikes, we don't become vexed and angry and annoyed at why on earth this has happened. No. Likewise, we do not complain upon our tongue. Do not make complaints upon our tongue about that. And thirdly, that with our limbs, we don't show vexation with our limbs by tearing at our clothes or tearing at our hair, striking the cheeks and the like. We don't do that either. Rather, being pleased with Allah's decree means, as occurs in the narration, that you know that whatever befalls you was never going to miss you. And whatever misses you was never going to come to you. Then the Imam Abu Muhammad al-Barbahari, rahimahullah, he continued, and what occurs here, on point number 54, what occurs on page 320, وَالصَّبْرُ عَلَى حُكْمِ اللَّهِ وَالْإِيمَانُ بِأَقْدَارِ اللَّهِ كُلِّهَا خيرها وشرها حلوها ومرها والإيمان بما قال الله عز وجل قد علم الله ما العباد عاملون وإلى ما هم صائرون لا يخرجون من علم الله ولا يكون في الأرضين والسماوات إلا ما علم الله عز وجل. Saying of the Imam al-Barrahari رحمه الله, and to have patience with the judgment of Allah, and to have iman in all the decrees of Allah, the good and the bad, the sweet and the bitter, and to have iman in whatever Allah the Mighty and Majestic has said. Allah knew whatever the servants were going to do and where they were heading to. They do not escape from the knowledge of Allah. And there is nothing in the earth or in the heavens except that which is known by Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. Sheikh Al-Fawzan, hafidhullah, said in explanation, a mention of this has already preceded at the beginning of the levels of Iman in Al-Qadha wal-Qadr, preordainment and pre-decree. And he said, and using pre-decree and preordainment, Al-Qadha wal-Qadr, as an evidence, when calamities strike, which a person does not have a choice about, is something praiseworthy. Meaning, in other words, that's the time to mention pre-decree, preordainment. Allah has preordained this. When a calamity strikes, if you can't help, that's when you can mention this is from the pre-decree of Allah. as opposed to when a person commits a sin. That is not a time. If a person commits a sin and he's pulled up about it, that is not the time, as we've heard before, it's not the time for him to say, I can't help it. Allah pre-decreed that I would commit that sin. That is not the correct place for him to quote pre-decree. He had the choice, he did that sin. But the correct place to quote pre-decree is this place. When a calamity strikes, you can't help. Allah decreed that it would happen. That's when he mentioned this is Allah's decree. The Sheikh said, and using preordainment and pre-decree as an evidence, when calamities strike, things that a person does not have a choice about is something praiseworthy. Because this shows his being satisfied and his submitting. And if you quote, you mentioned when the calamity strikes, that's what you say, this is Allah's decree. That shows that the person is satisfied with that decree and submits. He said, He the Most High said, وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ Surah Al-Baqarah, second surah, ayah 156, 155, the end of, and 156. With the explanation, and give glad tidings to those who are patient. Give glad tidings to those who have patience. Those who, when they are struck by a calamity, they say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Indeed, we belong to Allah, and to him we shall return. The Sheikh said, but as for using pre-decree and pre-ordainment as a proof for evil deeds, which they commit by choice, which they commit and do by choice, then they have no argument in pre-decree for that. Rather, they are punished for their deeds. And they are falling short. And the gate to repentance is open. Instead of raising an argument with Allah, such that you say, why did you decree this upon me? And that you abandon repentance. And this is from blameworthy inability. And if a person commits a sin, it's not the right time for him to quote pre-decree. Say, I can't help it, it's pre-decree. Why was this written upon me, this sin? That's the wrong approach. The Sheikh said, rather, the door to repentance is open for you. Instead of raising an argument with Allah such that you say, why did you decree this upon me? And leave off repentance. So this, as the Sheikh said, this is blameworthy inability. Rather, hasten to repentance and seeking forgiveness. And blame yourself. So this is what is required from a servant. That he should look at his own deeds. وَلْتَنْظُرْ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدْ Surah Al-Hashr, the 59th Surah, Ayah 18. With the explanation, and let each soul look and see what deeds it puts forward for the day of judgment. The Sheikh said, look at your deeds and at your iman and change them. Or rather, the Sheikh said, look at your deeds. It is possible for you to change them, correct them, and to repent from them. Look at your deeds. It's possible for you to change them and to repent from them and to seek forgiveness. As for preordainment and pre-decree, then that is the affair of Allah, the Mighty, the Majestic and Most High. It is not your matter. He said, he's saying, وَلَا يَخْرُجُونَ مِنْ عِلْمِ اللَّهِ And they will not depart, they will not exit from the knowledge of Allah. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, everything, Allah has full knowledge of it. And He, the Perfect and Most High, fully encompasses it. He knows the disbelief of the disbeliever, and the sin of the sinful person, and the oppression of the oppressor. It is not hidden from him. He knows the obedience of the obedient person, and the actions of the obedient person. He knows this and this. However, he gives them respite, gives them some time, so that perhaps they will repent. Perhaps they will turn back. So if they repent, then well and good. Otherwise, in front of them is the reckoning, the hisab. So Allah does not neglect them at all. Not just neglect them and left them to it, at all. He said, he's saying, وَلَا يَكُونُ فِي الْأَرَضِينَ وَالسَّمَاوَاتِ إِلَّا مَا عَلِمَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. And there is not in the earth nor in the heavens except that which is known by Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, this is just as has preceded. Everything is known by Allah. Whatever was in the past and whatever will be in the future. All of it, Allah has encompassed it with his knowledge. Nothing whatsoever is hidden from him, he the perfect and most high. He knew it, and he decreed it, and he wrote it, and he wished it, and willed it, and he created it. Then the Imam al-Barbahari, rahimahullah, he mentions further 2 points. وَتَعْلَمُ أَنَّ مَا أَصَابَكَ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُخْطِئَكَ وَمَا أَخْطَأَكَ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُصِيبَكَ وَلَا خَالِقَ مَعَ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. And you should know that whatever befalls you was never going to miss you. And whatever missed you was never going to come to you. And there is no creator along with Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. Shaykh Fawzan, hafizahullah, he said in explanation, this is the text of the hadith. This wording brought by the author is taken from the direct text of the hadith. So this is the text of the hadith, just as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Ibn Abbas, وَأَعْلَمْ أَنَّ مَا أَخْطَأَكَ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُصِيبَكَ وَمَا أَصَابَكَ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُخْطِئَكَ. And know that whatever befalls you was not going to miss you, and whatever comes to you was never going to miss you. In a footnote they mention, this is reported by Al-Firyabi in his book Al-Qadr, and by Al-Jurri in his book Al-Sharia. And this hadith is also reported by Imam Ahmad in his Musnad, and this occurs as a hadith of Ubadah ibn al-Samit radiallahu anhu. And it was declared sahih, authentic, by Shaykh al-Albani in his checking of Ibn Abi Asim's As-Sunnah. Obviously part of the famous longer hadith. And the Shaykh brings the phrase, مَا أَخْطَأَكَ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُصِيبَكَ. Whatever befalls you, whatever strikes you, was never going to miss you. مَا أَخْطَأَكَ, whatever misses you, was never going to come to you. Whatever missed you, was never going to come to you. Shaykh Fawzan said, even if you eagerly sought after it and you want it, but it missed you, then you should know that Allah did not decree it for you. وَمَا أَصَابَكَ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُخْطِئَكَ. And whatever came upon you was never going to miss you. Sheikh said, so do not say, if only I had done such and such, this wouldn't have befallen me. Don't say that. He said, he's saying, وَلَا خَالِقَ مَعَ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. And there is no creator along with Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. Sheikh Al-Fawzan said, this follows on from the levels of preordainment and pre-decree. Obviously, as we had the fourth level, from those levels that we need to know with regard to pre-decree, for knowledge, writing, wish and will, and the fourth, creation. That Allah is the one who creates whatever happens. So Sheikh, that's what the Sheikh said. This follows on from the levels of preordainment and pre-decree. It contains a refutation of whoever says that the person creates his own actions. Refutation of that. So Allah, He is the one who is alone in creating. He, the Majestic and Most High. No one can create along with Him. So it is all from the creation of Allah alone. He the Perfect and Most High. And therefore He the Majestic and Most High says, قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ مَا تَدْعُونَ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ أَرُونِي مَاذَا خَلَقُوا مِنَ الْأَرْضِ أَمْ لَهُمْ شِرْكٌ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ اِعْتُونِي بِكِتَابٍ مِنْ قَبْلِ هَذَا أَوْ أَثَارَةٍ مِنْ عِلْمٍ إِنْ كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Surah Al-Ahqaf, 46 Surah, Ayah 4. With explanation. Say, do you see whatever you invoke besides Allah? Show me what they have created in the earth. Or do they have any share with Allah in the heavens? Bring me any scripture which came from Allah before this Quran, or any remnant of knowledge, or bring me any scripture which came from Allah before this Quran, which states this, or any remnant of knowledge which proves it, if you are truthful. Then the Sheikh quotes the second ayah. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَدْعُونَ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ لَنْ يَخْلُقُوا ذُبَابًا وَلَوْ اجْتَمَعُوا لَهُ. Surah Al-Hajj, 22nd Surah, Ayah 73, with the explanation, those whom they invoke, those whom they call upon, those whom they worship besides Allah, they can never create even a fly, even if they all gather together to do it. Surah Al-Hajj, 22nd Surah, Ayah 73. And then Sheikh Fawzan quotes a third ayah. أَمْ جَعَلُوا لِلَّهِ شُرَكَاءَ خَلَقُوا كَخَلْقِهِ فَتَشَابَهَ الْخَلْقُ عَلَيْهِمْ قُلِ اللَّهُ خَالِقُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ الْوَاحِدُ الْقَهَّارُ. Surah Al-Ra'd, the 13th Surah, Ayah 16, with explanation. Or do they set up partners for Allah who can create just as He creates, such that the creation is confused for them? Say, Allah is the creator of everything, and He is the one, the all-powerful subduer. And the Sheikh said, and therefore Allah, the Majestic and Most High, described those who make images, those people who make images. He described them in his saying, فَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ ذَهَبَ يَخْلُقُ كَخَلْقِي. Describing part of the Hadith Qudsi, where the Prophet ﷺ reports the words of his Lord, with explanation. So who is a greater wrongdoer than someone who tries to create like my creation? Sheikh Fawzan said, meaning that he tries to produce the outward form of that which Allah has created. فَلْيَخْلُقُوا حَبَّةً أَوْ لِيَخْلُقُوا شَعِيرًا وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ أَوْ لِيَخْلُقُوا ذَرَّةً. So the end of the narration mentions, let them then create a single grain of corn, or let them create a single barley corn. Or in one narration, or let them create the tiniest ant. In a footnote they mention, this hadith is reported by al-Bukhari, and you'll find it there with its correct reference, hadith 5953, and reported by Muslim as hadith 2111, from a hadith of Abu Hurairah, radiallahu anhu. Then Shaykh Barzan said, no one is able to do this. And if someone is able to fashion the form, the outward form, the surah, if someone is able to fashion the outward form, he is not able to produce life in it. So life is from the creation of Allah, the Majestic and Most High. No one is able to do it. Even if he can make a precise image and form of something, he is not able to breathe a soul into it. And to put life into it. This is the creation of Allah, the Perfect and Most High. And therefore it will be said to those image makers, those people who make images on the Day of Resurrection, أَحْيُوا مَا خَلَقْتُمْ. Give life to that which you created. Shaykh said, in order to manifest their inability and as a punishment for them. This hadith, that it will be said to them, أَحْيُوا مَا خَلَقْتُمْ. Give life to that which you created. They mentioned in the footnote, this hadith is reported by al-Bukhari, and you'll find it there as hadith 2225. And reported by Muslim as hadith 2110. Then Imam al-Barbahari, rahimahullah, he follows this with another point, something different, point number 59. وَالتَّكْبِيرُ عَلَى الْجَنَائِزِ أَرْبَعٌ وَهُوَ قَوْلُ مَالِكِ بْنِ أَنَسٍ وَسُفْيَانَ الثَّوْرِي وَالْحَسْنِ بْنِ صَالِحٍ وَأَحْمَدَ بْنِ حَنْبَلٍ والفقهاء وهكذا قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. He said, four takbirs, four sayings of Allahu Akbar, four takbirs are to be said for the funeral prayer. This was the saying of Malik ibn Anas, Sufyan al-Thawri, al-Hasan ibn Salih, Ahmad ibn Hanbal, and the fuqaha, the jurists. And this was the saying of Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Shaykh Fawzan said, this is a mas'alatun far'iyyah. This is a matter of detail. It's not from the usul, from the fundamentals, a fundamental matter of fundamental belief, but it's a matter of detail, meaning a matter of a point of fiqh. So he said, this is a matter of detail. However, he mentioned it here because of the disagreement occurring with regard to it, and to make clear the sunnah in that regard, because the book is called Sharh al-Sunnah, a clarification of the sunnah. And what is famous with the Ahl al-Sunnah wal Jama'ah, people of the sunnah and the Jama'ah, and with the Imams, is that the takbirs that are said over the janazah, over the funeral prayer, are four takbirs. As occurs in the authentic hadith that the Prophet ﷺ prayed funeral prayer over An-Najashi, the Negus, the ruler of Abyssinia, in the absence of his body, as Salat al-Ghaib, in the absence of his body. And he said four takbirs. Obviously, An-Najashi, he died in his own land. Nobody prayed over him in his own land. So the Prophet ﷺ was informed by revelation that he had died, and he led the companions in Medina in funeral prayer for An-Najashi in that different land, and said four takbirs over the janazah. In the footnote they say, this is reported by al-Bukhari in his Sahih. And you'll find it there as hadith 1245. And reported by Muslim in his Sahih, as hadith 951, from a hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. Shaykh Fawzan said, and most of the hadith mentioned four takbirs over the janazah. and whatever is additional to it. Allah said, and most of the hadith mentioned four. And in some of them, in some of the hadith, there is an addition of five or more. He's saying five takbirs or more in some hadith. However, that which the Muslims have consensus upon is four. And whatever is additional to it is a point of disagreement. And the Muslim should not go to that about which there is disagreement, and leave aside that about which there is consensus and which there is agreement upon, and therefore cause trouble to the people. Particularly with respect to the imams of the mosques, they should not cause trouble to the people, because the people are not accustomed to any addition to four. So if you want to do it, if you want to pray of the janazah more than four takbirs, if you want to do it, then do it yourself, but do not cause trouble to the people, and bring them rare and obscure sayings and divergent reports. For this is not from the way of the student of knowledge. The students of knowledge should bring harmony amongst the people and not cause problems for them, not cause trouble to them. And they should act upon that which there is consensus and restrict themselves to that. This is what is required. And this is the intent of the author in mentioning the four, because that is what is agreed upon. So they should not be added to, and trouble therefore caused to the people in that regard. He said, he's saying, وَهُوَ قَوْلُ مَالِكِ بْنِ أَنَسِ وَسُفْيَانَ الثَّوْرِي وَالْحَسْنِ بْنِ صَالِحِ وَأَحْمَدَ بْنِ حَنْبَلِ. And it is the saying of Malik ibn Anas and Sufyan al-Thawri and al-Hasan ibn Salih and Ahmad ibn Hanbal. Shaykh al-Fazan said, Malik ibn Anas is the Imam of Dar al-Hijrah, and the Imam of the place where the Hijrah was to be, the Imam of Medina, Imam Malik, and one of the four Imams. And Sufyan al-Thawri, he was Sufyan ibn Sa'id al-Thawri, the famous Imam from the Imams of Fiqh. And Al-Hasan ibn Salih ibn Hayy, he was from the major Imams. And Ahmad ibn Hanbal, he was one of the four Imams. He said, he's saying, وَالْفُقَهَا وَهَكَذَا قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم. And it was the saying of the jurists, the people of Fiqh, Fuqaha. And this was the saying, this was said by Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Shaykh Fazan said, meaning, and it is the saying of many of the jurists who were following the sunnah of the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it is not befitting for the student of knowledge to cause trouble with the people with the argument that he knows that there is another saying or another hadith with regard to an addition, in saying more than four takbirs. The scholars used to know that there was disagreement in certain matters, but they would not bring this and cause trouble to the people. Nor would they contradict that which action was upon. As for the final point today, inshaAllah, what occurs here is point number 60, that Imam al-Barbahari, rahimahullah, said, وَالْإِيمَانُ بِأَنَّ مَعَ كُلِّ قَطْرَةٍ مَلَكٌ يَنْزِلُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ حَتَّى يَضَعَهَا حَيْثُ أَمَرَهُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلُ. And to have Iman, that along with every raindrop, there is an angel who descends from the sky with it, until he places it wherever Allah, the Mighty and Majestic, has commanded him to. Shaykh al-Fawzan said in explanation, there is no doubt that Allah, the Majestic and Most High, sends down the rain from the sky in measured proportion. He, the Most High, said, وَأَنزَلْنَا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً بِقَدَرٍ فأسكنناه في الأرض. سورة المؤمنون, the 23rd surah, ayah 18, with the explanation. And we sent down rain from the sky in due measure, and we caused it to settle in the earth. Sheikh Fawzan said, Allah the Majestic and Most High preordained the coming down of rain, and He gave it its due measure and amount, and the earth where it should fall, and He distributes it, He the Perfect and Most High, however He wishes. So He dispatches it, and He commands and it rains, and He commands and it ceases, it stops. And along with it are angels. And that occurs in the description of Mikael, the angel Mikael, that he is entrusted with the raindrops, qatar, with the raindrops and with the plants. So the angels carry out duties which Allah has entrusted them with. And from that is al-qatar, the raindrops. Just before finishing here, then some of the verifiers, they mentioned this point here, that along with each angel, or rather along with each raindrop, that's how Sheikh Al-Azam finishes, but as a side point, then some of the verifiers, they mentioned that this point, that along with each raindrop, there's an angel to bring it down. Then this is reported by Ibn Jarir al-Tabari in his Tafsir, and Abu Sheikh in his book Al-Adhama, as being a saying of one of the Tabi'een, and Hakam ibn Utaybah, as being his saying. And likewise reported by Abu Sheikh in his book Al-Adhama, as being also a saying of another Tabi'een, and Hassan al-Basri. And as for Sheikh Salih al-Suhaymi, hafidhullah, and he mentions this report, is reported from some of the Salaf, and does not contradict to any text. And as for, just finally, as for the explanation of Sheikh Ahmad al-Najmi on this point, rahimahullah, then he said with regard to this point, there occurs in a footnote to the original, earlier edition, that it is reported from Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma, that he said, there is no plant upon the land nor in the sea, except there is an angel entrusted with it to write down whatever falls from it, I mean whatever leaf or the like falls away from it. Refer to the Tafsir of Ibn Kathir. And that the person in the footnotes had said, so this proves even more so this matter here. I mean, therefore there must be an angel for every raindrop as well, even more so. Sheikh Ahmad said, he criticized this saying and said, this is questionable. This is not necessarily the case, something doubtful. This is questionable from two aspects. Firstly, that it is not established from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nothing is established in that regard from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as far as I know. Secondly, that even this report here, that's quoted from Ibn Abbas, the indication of this report for what the author mentioned, that along with every raindrop that descends, an angel comes down until he places it wherever Allah, the Mighty Majestic, has commanded him to, is being proof for that is not clear. Since the report mentions writing down whatever is going to fall from that plant, where the issue here is with regard to the rain descending. I mean, if that report, even if it's authentic, it just mentions there's an angel appointed for every plant to write down whatever falls from it, from the plant, whatever leaves or light fall away from it. But the issue here is that every raindrop coming down, there's an angel appointed to take it, bring it down until he places it. I mean, something different. Then the Sheikh said, and we believe in the ability of Allah, the Mighty and Majestic, and we believe that Allah knows every leaf that falls and every raindrop that falls from rain. He knows where it's going to fall. However, the coming down of an angel along with every raindrop until he places it in its place, this is a matter that's not established from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So I say, this is questionable. This point is questionable. And Allah is the one who grants success. Alhamdulillah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam.